There's a blood moon on the rise, but the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast doesn't care anything about that. We've got an awesome slate of Week 5 games to talk about, including Allen's 48th straight win, which came against Flower Mound Marcus, but didn't come easy. Arlington Martin dismantled Arlington Lamar, setting up a clear path for their district title, and Lancaster and Plano staved off losing streaks with some key wins. Avi, Matt, Greg, Rhiannon, and Corbett discuss those games, plus we preview Week 6, with Southlake, Carroll, and Capel looming large on the schedule. We've got all that, plus an interview with Frisco Lone Star coach Jeff Rayburn, all coming up on the podcast. The Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast. We've got the full crew here. I'm super duper excited. Yeah. Hey, is Randy here?
Randy.
Hey, it's Matt Wigson.
Over my head. Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Avi Zalen.
Hi.
Hi. Rhiannon Walker.
What's up, guys?
Greg Riddle.
Hello.
Well, hello, and I'm Corbin
Riddle.
Smith. Five-man crew today. Well, we're going to talk about a really important week. Week 5, a lot of games. Matt Wixon jinxed us because shows you how week to week I am. He says, "Well, all these good games this week, that means we'll have a slow week sometime." And it's this week.
Right.
Week 6, we'll talk a little bit
Hooray!
About that. Also, Frisco Lone Star coach Jeff Rayburn, they're off to a 5-0 start. We'll talk to him in part 2. Avi, I've got to ask you a question.
Oh, crap.
As far as what someone dresses to go to Nebraska Furniture Mart, you're wearing what exactly to not get service?
So, well, no, it's a very interesting strategy.
Are you wearing jean cutoffs?
No, I was wearing at the time.
Jorts.
It was during the summer. Well, funny story about jorts, but I'll have to share it on a different podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to get Matt Stepp here in the jorts.
Jorts
David Hinojosa.
And David, Jorts Nation, as they call themselves.
Jorts Nation, I think that's Kentucky.
Youch.
Well, I'm just saying.
Cross the bow.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to a Kentucky basketball game, and it's hashtag Jorts Nation.
Okay.
No, but the strategy behind Nebraska Furniture Mart is because, like, I am, you know, like, I'm about to turn 25 and don't have many monies. Like, you need to, like, make sure that the salespeople think you actually have a little bit of money. So I picked, like, a nicer T-shirt because you still want to be casual, but you at least want to be like, okay, I have my stuff together. Like, I'm interested in buying a couch today.
Casual but together. So you have a T-shirt that doesn't have stains or holes in it.
Correct.
That's
yeah.
nice.
And, there was a whole strategy. Long story short, I went there and still couldn't afford a couch from there and went to Rooms to Go instead.
It was one of the more recent Bieber tours. Kidding.
Wait, what?
Never mind.
It's too early. It's over my
Okay,
head.
Well, let's talk about actual footballs because there were some really good games in week 5. Matt, you were at the biggest, arguably. Certainly probably the most attended, and that was Allen
hosting, I would think so.
Flower Mound Marcus packed house there in Allen Eagle Stadium, and they saw a pretty good game.
Very good game. Yeah, it was tied in the third quarter, 28 all. And I think both teams made pretty good or availed themselves quite well in that game. I think Allen, you know, was was expected to win, and I thought they'd get a tough battle from Marcus, and they did. Probably the thing that stood out to people watching that game, at least from the Allen perspective, was that, you know, Seth Green, all year long it's been Seth Green or Mitchell Jahnke. Who's going to be the player who gets the most reps?
Right.
And Coach Westerberg said, hey, it's going to be the guy who's kind of going the best at the time. Well, Seth Green comes out there and by midway through the second quarter had thrown 3 interceptions.
He was 1 for 6 for
right.
3 picks.
2 were his fault. 1 was off the hands of a receiver. But he didn't look real sharp. Did have a real nice 75-yard touchdown run. But then Mitchell Jahnke came in and he just got him going right away. And the thing I really liked about Jahnke, in addition to it, he can throw a real nice ball, is that you know, he's not going to be Kyler Murray. Nobody's going to be Kyler Murray. But he is.
He's got some wiggle.
He's got some. Mm-hmm. He's pretty nifty in the backfield. And there was a play, a key play, when Marcus was making a charge. It was 3rd and goal at the 8. And Jahnke, basically, he got rushed out of there. And he was just kind of weaving between defenders until he was able to flip the ball to Kirby Bennett for a touchdown, 8-yard touchdown. And, you know, most quarterbacks aren't going to be able to make that play. They're just going to get sacked. I thought it was a great play by him.
I thought it was kind of a wheels off play when I kept on
watching
the highlights.
Well, it
was. Rhiannon, is that going to be in your highlight package?
It is going to be my highlights. If Allen's Twitter account has anything to do with it, it will most certainly be in there with different angles too, no less.
They blow you up with all sorts of different video shots.
The thing is, you know, back in the Kyler Murray days, how many times those plays looked wheels off until Kyler Murray just takes off and then, oh, it's beautiful.
Kyler Murray just palming the ball midfield and then shaking three defenders and then running past everybody.
Well, this play will never, what?
Right.
60-yard touchdown.
You know, he showed a little bit of that against Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, some nice runs.
Yeah.
You know, Matt, it's funny, the person it reminded me of, Aaron Rodgers, you know how he has that escape, especially like looking at him playing against the Cowboys last year, like being bottled up and still somehow finding a way to like throw darts in there. It just, he has that easy flippability. That's who it reminded of.
Yeah, he's not real big too, so he kind of gets hidden in there.
Flippability.
Flippability.
Yeah.
Flick of the wrist.
I think that's a Little Flip album. Mm-hmm. Flippability. As far as Mitchell Jonkey, 10 of 19 passing for 186, two scores, rush for a .123. I called Tom Westerberg on Monday morning and said, "Hey, coach, has anything changed?" And he said, "No, we're going to play the guy with the hot hand, but it does look like Jonkey might get the start this week, depending on how practice goes. But he's kind of earned that right to start the game, and that's what Green did the last couple of games. Is he'd start the game and pretty much finished it out. There's very few opportunities for Jonkey.
You feel like that's going to hurt them when they get to the playoffs, not having a definitive number one, at least at this point?
I'll throw that question up to you guys. I would, as a coach, want that definitive number one as early as possible. But if you've got two guys who can play, it really does kind of, it's just like any other position.
I think it's a case-by-case basis. I think some people will thrive in it, and you're great. You have two guys who give you a little bit different look. And there are others who players will just not react to it well, and they will tense up and think, somebody's looking over my shoulder. I can't take a chance or really play loose, because if I make a mistake, I'm out of there. I don't know what the situation is. It's hard to argue with. Again, they're undefeated.
Right.
And for the most part, both quarterbacks have been putting up big numbers. So, it's hard to say that they're doing anything incorrectly.
Going for 49 in a row, which would be second in state history, according to Greg Riddle.
That is correct.
They would tie
Abilene and Carroll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At 49. They're currently at 48. That's how that works.
And squeeze it in. Marcus is a very good team.
Marcus is a good team. And, Caden Smith, I have not seen them play this year. He's crazy good, but they're getting him the ball. He had 123 yards.
Well, and there were a few times when he was, singled up and they would throw down there. But, there were a bunch of times they were throwing the ball up and he would just jump up between a couple of defenders and pull it down. He's listed as a receiver, and he is a receiver, but he's also 6'6" and 235 pounds.
He can really run.
Gates type figures.
Yeah.
That's a great play call. Hey, let's just throw it to Caden. But what if, just throw it to Caden.
Well, they had a 4th and 12 where they threw it up, and it was like a 27-yard gain to him. It's not a bad plan.
No, if you've got a guy who's dominating, like Julio Jones, you just throw the ball up to him.
They have another good receiver on that team, too, who had a couple touchdown catches.
Alex Albright.
Albright, yep.
103 and two touchdowns. And I think you'll see a lot from Marcus moving forward in that district. Some other results from that district, pretty important. That's always 6A, the biggest, it's one of the largest districts in the state with some of the largest teams. Plano with a nice bounce back win, a necessary bounce back win.
Against
Flower Mound. They win 36-31. Nice bounce back performance by Brandon Stevens, 223 on the ground and two scores. But that is their first district win, and that was a must have. They fall 0-3 in that district would be an impossible hill to climb.
Yeah, 9 schools in there, and it's just going to be hard to battle out of 0-3.
Another team that picked up an important win, that's Louisville, who I think is kind of a dark horse for the running in that last playoff spot. They win 21-14 over Hebron. And McKinney Boyd, they pick up their first district win, avoid falling to 0-3 with a 41-31 win over Plano West. So you look at it, you've got your Allen undefeated, Plano East undefeated, and then Marcus with one loss, and then there's a bunch of teams scrambling there, at 1-2 or 1-1.
It'll be interesting when East plays Marcus.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how East does against some of the heavier hitters. I mean, they haven't even played Plano yet, and that's certainly going to be.
They get Allen this week, right?
Boyd. I think it's going to be a good game.
Plays Allen. Boyd plays Plano East.
Okay. We'll talk about that in part three, guys. Hold on.
Sorry.
Pump the brakes. Another big game, Arlington Martin and Arlington Lamar for 6A. And this is a game, I was like, man, this is the time. And then I found out Nick Smith wasn't even suited up.
Right.
For Arlington Martin, and no matter, 52-24, Arlington Martin rolls. They improve. That's their first district win in the district opener. They're 2-2 now. Eric Walker with a big game, 141 in the air, had two rushing scores. Tyler Wilson with another kickoff return, had one against Skyline. This one a 91-yard kickoff return, and Martin just continues to roll with Bob Wigger. I don't see them getting challenged, especially with the way that Bowie struggled this week against Sam Houston. I think that Arlington Martin is the clear favorite in that district from now on.
Yeah, I mean, from the first week, the opening week of the season when Arlington Martin beat DeSoto and Lamar kind of scuffled with Richland. Richland's got a couple of wins, but that was a sign for me. Well, I thought maybe Martin and Lamar were on par at the start of the year. But Martin is definitely the clear favorite in there.
Nick Smith's supposed to be out three more games with a torn meniscus, but they still ran for over 300 yards against Lamar without him.
Yeah, I mean, and Smith is a big loss, but if they can get him back for the playoffs, he's certainly a dynamic guy who can carry a team. He did that in their loss to Allen. He played tremendously in that game. Was anybody surprised about the Keller-Denton-Guyer score, at least being close throughout most of the game? Keller jumps out to a 14-0 lead really quick, and Guyer has to fight back, but they end up having three 100-yard rushers. Would you be concerned about the production of Sean Robinson, the TCU pledge? He goes 4 of 10 with a pick, 53 yards in the air and 59 on the ground. He's a guy that you would expect to carry a team in a game like this, but instead it was a freshman running back who Adam Bodecker compared to Emmett Smith on Twitter, which no pressure
the
brakes,
there. Right?
Yeah, tap the brakes there, Bodecker. And that's 146 on the ground, three touchdowns for Noah Kane, the freshman, Myron Mason with 149 and three scores, and Christian Moore with over 100 yards as well. That's a nice win for Guyer, but I like that. That shows some moxie from Keller, too. They played Guyer close last year. They're now 3-1 with the loss.
They're going to play Denton Ryan, which has a defense, so they better be ready for that.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting matchup there for the second
place. Kind of like TCU when they actually have to play a team with some defense. They may be in trouble.
Yeah, they will lose, Greg.
Good thing they're in the Big 12.
Right.
Well, TCU, I thought they were going to lose this week, and they're going to eventually lose. Yeah,
they got lucky.
That was a pretty remarkable play there, Aaron Jones, in the back of the end zone. Another game of note, North Mesquite.
Oh,
man, what a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
They're at Highlander Stadium. They miss the first PAT, and in a coach's mind, you're like, well,
that's
going to come back and bite us, and it does. 28-27, Highland Park scores late, Henry Allen touchdown pass, late for the win. They start their new streak of consecutive home winning streak. Right. Stephen Deeb with 100 yards rushing, a little over, and a touchdown in that game, but North Mesquite, I think that kind of shows that I know it's a tough loss for Mike Robinson and his kids, but that kind of shows that they're a team to be reckoned with in that district.
Yeah, this is a team that, or a year that Mike Robinson has been kind of pointing to for a couple of years, because he knew that his players he played young a couple years ago was all coming together this year. And I know they're disappointed. I think they really thought they were going to get that one. But even though Highland Park's a little down this year, to go in there and play that way, in a tough place to play where they do not lose, that shows a lot for them.
Absolutely. And the District of Doom with Euless, Trinity, Southlake Carroll, and Coppell. Trinity gets a big win against a playoff-contending team in Colleyville Heritage, 59-33.
And that game was closer than the final score
The game was closer than what it indicates, but Trinity wore them down in the second half. They score 28 in the fourth quarter. They rush for 325 yards in the second half. 4-12 overall, Jayron Wilson and John Garrett both with big games, and that was a 59-33 win. Nice win for Trinity as they improved to 5-0, and they look as good as any team in the area.
Yeah. Second, I think solid second in our rankings.
Southlake Carroll, I've got Cedar Hill at number two because they're a two-time defending state champ, but it's Euless Trinity, a very solid number three. Southlake Carroll, 42-17 over Abilene. In a non-district game is a nice win there.
Lil Jordan Humphrey might be as valuable to that team as any single player is on any single team.
He had over
100 rushing and over 100 receiving touchdowns on both.
Yeah, 166 in the air. That's a lot.
I think they've found their quarterback with Mason Holmes.
Mason Holmes,
four touchdown passes.
Yeah, he's played really well the last couple of weeks. How about this district, the 11-6A? I think it's 11-6A. I don't have it's the Garland district.
Yes.
I think it's 11-6A. I saw Thursday night Garland upset Sachse.
Oh, that's a good one.
Beating Sachse 38-34. Sachse just could not stop shooting themselves in the foot. Four turnovers, a block punt, a missed extra point, and a missed 22-yard field goal and a four-point loss. Garland took advantage. Jacoby Williams threw for 300 yards again. They had two receivers. Had nice games. Corey Compton looked dangerous, and Melvin Loveless had a huge game. 11 receptions, 134, and two touchdowns, including the go-ahead touchdown catch. They're the only team, you would have never picked this, they're the only team in our area in 6A with two receivers over 400 yards.
Garland. Yeah, right.
Of all teams. Rowlett with a nice win over Tyler Lee, and that sets up nicely for that district race. Rowlett looks dominant. Logan Bonner continues to have a big year, 366 and two touchdowns. Let's move to 5A. To get a lot of spit on that recording. 5A. How about the 14-5A, the district that everybody looks at and says, man, this is a
There are way too many
district.
Good teams in that district.
Lancaster and Timberview. What are your thoughts on Lancaster's 35-21 win over Timberview? That was a nice win, nice bounce back for Lancaster. They could have lost three straight and been 0-2 in district play.
Well, once they, kind of cut out a lot of the mistakes – which I saw, the week before when they lost to Lake Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot easier to win. But Timberview is a very good team. I think Lancaster is a state contender, and I have since the start of the year. One of those losses was to Trinity. Mm-hmm. They're two in a row. And I think once they kind of get their pieces together and they get a little more rhythm on offense, because I do really like Ryan Ross at quarterback, I think they can do a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, he's been phenomenal for them, averaging – well over 200 yards, 250 yards passing. He threw for 263 and two scores, one pick. Ricky Henderson did what Ricky Henderson does. Steal bases and score touchdowns. Ricky Henderson scored twice, and Ricky Henderson rushed for 119 yards.
Does this Ricky Henderson speak of himself in the third person?
I hope so. I probably doesn't know the other Ricky Henderson. I've probably heard of him. But
Avi, have you heard of Ricky Henderson?
I know who Ricky Henderson is, Griddle.
He was on Coach Ones.
He probably played for the Orioles.
Well, I don't
there.
Know that he's
He
played
probably
for
played for the Orioles like when he was 58.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
like
the Orioles have picked up, Sammy Sosa and Albert Bell and all these guys. But, hey, for Timberview, this is absolutely no transition whatsoever. But they got worried about their quarterback situation.
Yeah, Devin Williams, he left the game injured. I don't know his status, but if he's out for any extended period of time,
that's
that is bad
good.
News for Timberview in that district. Other results, Summit with a nice win over Legacy, 55-27. Derek Johnson with five touchdowns and 283
yards. Yes, I returned an interception for a touchdown.
Man, that guy's a boss.
He is.
And did he get our player of the week? No. No, he didn't.
I do not select that.
No.
Pass the buck.
Yeah.
It wasn't us.
Mike Florick. Complain to mflorick@dallasnews.com. Red Oak, real competitive against Arlington Seguin. But they do end up dropping that game.
That first half score, it was 19-0 at halftime. And everybody's like, and then Seguin's like, oh, right, we're Arlington Seguin, and we're going to beat you.
And Mansfield Lake Ridge, 60-34 over Waxahachie, the Fighting Kittenas, 0-2 in district play.
Giving up all the points.
Lake Ridge just looks great. Jet Duffy, two touchdown passes, two touchdown rushes. Duke Carter with two touchdown rushes and a 44-yard touchdown catch. Big result there.
And Wiley East beating McKinney North.
Well, we're going to get there in just a second.
Well, God,
we're
I don't
working
have
through
your
14,
spark notes.
We're working through 14-5A. We gave all the scores. Now let's go to Mesquite Poteet and West Mesquite. That was a game that I
– Poteet can't keep giving up safeties.
They can't.
That defense is ridiculous.
25-2. West Mesquite struggling to move the ball. Without D. Anderson, they don't have
but
that
last
kind of
week they
run
gave up, 14 points? Poteet?
I thought it was
They gave up three last week.
Oh, it was three. Okay.
Yeah, to Rockwall Heat. But Poteet's playing well.
Defense is great.
Yeah, they got enough. And that's a nice bounce back from a rough non-district start for them. But now they're 3-2, 2-0 in district play. Terrell with a big upset win over Rockwall Heath, 21-14.
Upset, air quotes.
Well, I was the only person to pick them in the pick 'em, and thankfully somebody from Terrell noticed, and they sent me like, hey, man.
Way to go.
You believe in us.
They're going to expect you to pick them every week now.
I will pick them.
Your check will be in the mail.
That's right. McKinney North and Wiley East, I thought this was going to be defense versus offense. Offense wins 72-43. Wiley East with a big win. Eno Benjamin, man, that dude's a hoss.
Five
touchdowns.
Didn't he have like 200 and some yards at halftime?
Yeah.
245.
And he finishes with 265. Braden Shoemake, the quarterback, throws for four scores. That's a nice win for Wiley East. They've got a really interesting matchup this coming week, a rivalry game against Wiley at Wiley ISD Stadium. The fun district that we always talk about is the Frisco District. Frisco and Frisco Centennial, a really nice win for Centennial to improve to 2-0, gives Frisco their first loss of the year, 31-27.
OT.
In OT, yeah.
Pretty impressive by Frisco to come back from a 24-7 fourth quarter deficit with the running game that they had.
I was going to say, playing from behind, that's tough.
They kept running it and didn't panic and didn't start throwing the ball all over the place and
so
made a game of it.
So takeaways from week five. Lancaster and Plano really kind of kept their playoff hopes alive. You see any other schools that kind of position themselves nicely?
Horn had a good win.
They did. Just a nail-biter against Mesquite.
Mm-hmm.
Arlington Martin, the class of that district.
Well, Garland keeps playing close games and winning. So they put that win over Sachse is a big one in a district that's, I think, a lot better than what many people thought before the season. I think they may not have, elite team, an elite team in there, but there's a lot of good teams in there battling for that kind of a thick middle.
Do you sweat if you're Sachse, given the fact that you had a great start to last year and then missed the playoffs? Is it a concern where you've got some pretty heavy hitters? A Rockwall team that is,
was a great win for them.
Looking impressive, as you might expect, because they played a very difficult non-district and went 0-3.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly there better not be any hangover for Sachse because you've got, like we said, Garland, Rockwall, Rowlett, and some other pretty good teams in there that are going to battle for that fourth spot. So,
one thing we did mention was Lake Dallas getting their quarterback back from an ACL injury.
Dagan Hayen, yeah. Congratulations. He didn't have a great game, but they ended up with a nice win over Grapevine.
Looked like he split time with Spencer Fredrickson.
That's a pretty quick return.
No doubt. I thought he was going to be like week 8 or week 9, but
come back to what anywhere near what he was able to do last year, they could be really, really good.
Yeah, Keegan Brewer had a big game in that win as well. So, they've got offensive weapons for him to get to. If he can get his knee back into shape, that you've got to like their chances in what is a region that you can make a nice run. I think region 1 in 5A is some place where you can make some hay. Okay, well, that's it for part 1. Part 2, we've got an interview with Frisco Lone Star coach Jeff Raven coming up. For part 2 of the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, we've got Frisco Lone Star coach Jeff Raven. How are you doing, coach? Congratulations on such a great start.
I appreciate it. We're off to a good start. So just getting into the meat of our schedule in District 9, 5A. So as you guys know, it's a big battle each week with
There's
all the great teams
meat.
We have.
There is a lot of meat on that bone.
No doubt.
As far as that start, I mean, you guys had such a kind of a disappointing end to last year. And it was a crazy playoff race, and you narrowly missed the playoffs, even though you were 7-3, one of the best records in the area without getting into the 5A
right.
playoffs. What did that do for your off season and your pre-season preparation for this year, getting those kids ready and kind of getting them working a little bit harder for that goal?
Right. Well, a big theme around our off season throughout the off season and spring and summer and fall camp was to finish. We got off to a red-hot start and went 5-0 last year. We're sitting at the same point right now as we were last year. And it's about finishing the thing off, and it's about making sure we take advantage of every opportunity we have because, as we know, in this district, anybody can beat anybody. There's so many good teams from top to bottom. We played Little Elm last week, and they gave us all we could handle. And obviously got a big game this week, a short prep week against the Colony this week. So it's about finishing and doing the little things the right way and kind of recommitting to doing all the right things so we can have the chance to be a playoff team and have a chance to advance to where we want to be.
Jason Shelley, your quarterback, is key to that offense. He was a starter as a sophomore, and did he start as a freshman as well?
He did start as a freshman. He worked in about the first 3 or 4 games as a freshman, eventually took over about halfway through the season his freshman year. That freshman year of his, he led us to 3 rounds deep in the playoffs while we're in 3A. I'll tell you what, he's made the transition. You know, last year going from a 3A team to the new 5A, he made that transition a whole lot easier. As you guys know, anytime you have a guy at quarterback, a trigger man that can run your offense and make special plays, when they're not there, gives you kind of a luxury back there to do some great things and be the catalyst of our offense.
Coach, you guys have scored 48 points on two different occasions, 60 points 1 week, 41, 35. I'm just wondering, you know, what the offensive philosophy is for your team and what you guys really try to hit on, you know, as far as an emphasis goes each and every week.
Really, it's about given what the defense takes us. You know, we want, if they give us the pass, we'll throw it. If they give us a run, we'll run it. I think one of the biggest things for us this year, we obviously have a lot of explosive playmakers. And we did last year as well. Now we have some new faces in there that have kind of taken the roles of some of those guys last year. But our offensive line has really come together, and I think we're a little bit stronger up front this year. So we are able to do a little bit of both, and just getting our guys the ball in space, number one. But really, we have so many different weapons offensively that our guys have really bought into being unselfish and just doing their job. They know if they do their job, they've got an opportunity to be successful as a team, number one, but also as an individual. It's going to come as long as they're doing their job play to play.
How pleased have you been with the development of Jalen Dixon, your leading receiver? He's made a pretty big jump from his sophomore to junior seasons.
No doubt. He was a big player for us last year, but his role wasn't quite as big. We had Jordan Jones last year, who's a big slot for us, who did a lot of things in the slot and running the football and being a returner. And Jalen's kind of taken over that role. He is explosive of players you'll find. He's about 5'10", 160, but he's one of those kids you can't tackle in a phone booth. You know, amazing burst. And really, we found a lot of different ways to get him the football because – a kid like that, you just get the ball in his hands and he's going to make something positive happen for our team.
Now, Coach, you've got a brutal stretch of games here. You start with the Colony here on Thursday, and then I believe you've got Centennial, Heritage, and Frisco back-to-back-to-back?
That's correct.
How do you deal with such a schedule? I mean, I guess you're trying to keep your kids healthy as you can, but that is probably as tough a run as you'll find in most districts in the area.
It really is, and that's a credit to the teams around here, the coaches and the players, of how good our district really is. But for us, no matter who we're playing against, it's about us preparing and doing us and being us and continuing to get better. No matter who we're playing, we've just got to get ready for that next opponent and have an opportunity to prepare and have an opportunity to succeed. But we know we've got great challenges ahead of us. We're not worried about any of those other ones other than the Colony right now. That's the task at hand, and we're excited about preparing for those guys on Thursday night.
Coach, I know we're kind of focused on in the season here, but I was just kind of curious about, you know, the new indoor facility the Cowboys are opening up there in Frisco next year. And, you know, is that something that you guys and your coaching staff and your program are just excited about, having the opportunity to play in, I guess, the first indoor high school facility there? Do you guys, you know any more details about that?
You know, a couple years ago, our athletic director had all the Frisco head coaches together and kind of told us about this and what was going to happen. And we thought it was a joke to think that we'd be playing indoors in Texas as one of our high school stadiums. We're really spoiled here in Frisco, to be honest. I mean, we've got two great stadiums we already use in Frisco Memorial and Toyota, and now we'll get to play in the Star. It's really not on our kids' minds. You know, as our kids and coaches drive up and down the tollway, you can see it right over there off Warren Park. Until it actually happens, until we actually get there, I don't think anybody's going to know really what to expect. But just thinking about it and as a whole, it's crazy to think that we're going to be playing indoors in a venue that the Cowboys use. We're really fortunate here in Frisco to have all the things at our disposal that we do. So it's exciting, but really it's kind of in the back burner right now until it gets here next year.
Coach, a spread offense, pretty much everybody's running it across the area, but facing a team like the Colony who runs I-form and doesn't throw the ball, and then having to face another district opponent like Frisco who runs the wing T, how difficult are those opponents to prepare for?
Well, they're always very difficult to prepare for because they're really good at what they do, number one. But we just don't see that very often. So that's why it makes it a little bit more difficult. Just as, you know, our defense practices against our offense, which we're a spread offense, throughout the spring and throughout fall camp. So we're used to lining up and used to making calls and fitting in a different way than we are whenever people get in the wing tee or get in the pro eye. But again, it just comes down to our preparation, getting our kids ready to play a physical brand of football. Now, I know people have different misconceptions of what a spread offense is and that type of teams, but we liken ourselves to being a physical football team, and we want to run the football just like people in the pro eye or the wing tee, and we want to be a smash-mouth defense too. So, you know, it's football's football. It all comes back to the same techniques and fundamentals of blocking, tackling, throwing, catching. So as long as we do those things at a high level with great effort, I think we've got a chance to be successful.
Well, Coach Rayburn, thanks for joining us. So we're going to finish this with our three questions segment here for Frisco Lone Star Coach Jeff Rayburn. Coach, how closely do you watch what Pulaski Academy does? And do you ever consider implementing what Kevin Kelly does? Because he was your junior high coach, if I'm correct on that, right?
That's correct. He coached me in 7th and 8th grade. He was my 7th grade head football coach.
And that was his first year on the job, I believe.
It was. It's funny, I still talk to him, and we text every once in a while when they came in to play Highland Park. And this summer we talked a little bit. And I've kind of gauged where he's at on that and talked to him about it. I know he's got some great data to support what he does. That's not necessarily something that I believe in. I believe you've got to be aggressive and take your chances. But also I believe in kind of the old school football philosophy of playing field position.
You like a punter, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We do like to use – hopefully we don't have to use our punter, but if we do, we've got him ready to go.
Okay, which do you prefer, Friday Night Lights, the TV show, or Varsity Blues, the movie? We've had coaches go any number of directions on here, including going off the reservation, so feel free.
Varsity Blues, because I never really got into the Friday Night Lights, the TV show, but actually out of those shows – The old TV show Coach with Craig T. Nelson as a coach and Dauber and all those guys. That was kind of one of my favorite shows. I was disappointed to hear they're supposed to be making a comeback with it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Our young person Avi in the room, he just holds up his hands like he doesn't know what you're talking about. That was Minnesota State.
Minnesota State.
That's right.
Yeah, they were mighty tough.
That's right.
Like Minnesota State, a college?
Yes,
yeah,
college Craig T. Nelson was the college coach.
That doesn't exist.
No.
It was a TV show.
It was a comedy.
When was it?
It was great.
Probably before your
early 90s, maybe?
Yeah, you need to look it up. It's fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and Coach, I sometimes go up to Frisco to do some shopping. Would you recommend or try to disabuse people from going to IKEA on Saturday?
I wouldn't go there any Saturday, any Sunday, any Friday. I wouldn't go there at any time.
Hey.
Because
take that
sweet. I let my wife handle those things, and she can pick it out and buy it, and I'll come up there and pick it up because I don't want to deal with all those people. It's crazy in the parking lot. It's crazy inside. It's just not something I want to deal with.
But think about the meatballs.
The meatballs are really good. There's no doubt about that. They can pick them up and bring it home for me.
There you go.
Frisco Lone Star Coach Jeff Rayburn, thank you very much for joining the Sports AHS podcast.
Appreciate it, guys.
Part three. Hey, guys.
Great.
Everybody
interview.
Always
Way
laughs
to go.
At that because I just take a pause. It's a producer's. I just take a few seconds pause and then I jump from part one to part three.
I think it's funny how you draw it out.
Well, you know, I have like it's a bit part three. Let's talk about this week's games, Greg. You said yourself on email this week that man, this is kind of slow week, and it is.
There's a couple good games on Thursday night.
Yeah, there are a couple of
the
good
Colony
games.
The Colony and Frisco Lone Star.
The Colony and Lone Star, and that'll be the game I'm at. And Prosper McKinney North. Yeah, Prosper's lone loss there is to Highland Park. No shame in that. McKinney North kind of licking their wounds after that loss to Wiley East. It'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. Lone Star and the Colony, I think, is a really interesting matchup because it's you've got Jason Shelley on one side for Lone Star, and then you've got the Colony with their power rushing attack. Khalil Banks, has done really well. I think he's one of the area's leading rushers.
That has the potential to be like first one to 70 wins. Like the Colony put up a 70 spot last week, and you know, Lone Star is just winning. They're putting up at least 35 points every game. So,
well, yeah, I'm excited to cover that one because you know, it's early deadlines there on Thursday night. So I'm sure it'll be a quality gamer.
Hey, there's no deadline for Web Corbett.
That's true.
We're always here for you.
Yeah, there is a deadline for sleep though. So I'm not going to stand up until 2 o'clock rewriting a gamer. for the web.
Well, can't help you there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Really interesting Friday night games. Probably the biggest is Southlake Carroll at Coppell. Hey, Rhiannon's going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, you excited?
This is news to me.
This is going to be good.
Carroll's finally playing in the Metroplex.
Yeah, Buddy Eccles.
Yeah, they've had to make a lot of trips. Yeah.
Not Abilene, not Oklahoma, not Austin, but actually here.
You know, Coppell's a interesting case. They had the transfers come in from Dripping Springs. Coach Joe McBride, former Coach Joe McBride, now current athletic director. His son is at quarterback, Brady. They've got a running back who was on his dad was on McBride's staff at Dripping Springs. His name Joe Fex. He's had a good start to the season. Josh Fink, their receiver, is also playing well. Do you think they've got enough firepower to, take on a team like Carroll, a team that, has shown its mettle over the last couple of years, and, they've got one of the better running backs, one of the more intriguing running back prospects in Little Jordan Humphrey?
I think, especially based on the last couple of weeks and last week, what Carroll did up in Abilene. I mean, I don't think Abilene is a fantastic team, but to go to Abilene, a tough place to play, and to win as convincingly and move the ball as well as they did, I think it's going to be tough for Coppell. Coppell is as expected, they're real tough up front. I think they've got a good defense, but they're going to have to really be on top of taking down Carroll early because I think the Dragons could get out fast.
Another interesting matchup in 9-6A, probably the only team I think that might throw something mm-hmm. in the line of Skyline, and that's Jesuit. Mm-hmm. Moves into our rankings this week and has certainly played pretty well this year. I think that there's no – him and Hahn, they've actually been impressive, especially that win over Bowie to start the season. But Skyline has just dominated this district and this matchup. Are they just going to roll Thunder and just get better and better? Terry and Randolph had a good week last week throwing the ball. Granted, I think it was against Irving. But it's one of those things that, if they can get that quarterback rolling, mm-hmm. Skyline's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I got to check with Coach Roberson on their quarterback went out of the game in the fourth, but they were way up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was precautionary or whatever. I've got about five or six different Skyline fans telling me, well, what's going on? And I don't know. But but I think if he's healthy, I think Skyline is a solid favorite in that game. Like you said, Jesuit's having a good season, but Skyline's been real impressive for the most part. I like what their offense is doing. I like that the two Randolphs, so they can kind of interchange them at quarterback, and they've got a lot of pieces that way. And their defense, man, that front is awesome.
Yeah, it is. A really interesting result we didn't talk about in part one, and that was W.T. White really playing well last week in a loss, but they battled Irving MacArthur 56-52 in a shootout. But I did not expect 52 points from a White team, so got to give them some props there. In District 11-6A, Garland and Rowlett.
That's a good game.
Potential district decider there.
Mm. I really like the way Rowlett's been playing. I think that with Logan Bonner at the helm, I mean, their offense, if it gets in a rhythm, watch out. But Garland's going to have a defense that can test him this week.
Yeah, I don't think that Bonner's thrown a pick this year. I think he's like 16 touchdowns, no picks.
Probably.
There's just
coming from an outsider's perspective, there's just this list of quarterbacks that just put up in this area that put up just crazy numbers every week. Lovejoy, Richardson, Pierce, Rowlett. I mean, they all have just absolute gunslingers.
Yeah, well, he's going to Arkansas State. And so, I mean, he's a legit FBS prospect and certainly has looked and has weapons to throw to. Arlington Bowie and Arlington Lamar. Bowie survives a scare. I think that was an overtime win over Sam. Mm-hmm. And Lamar's coming off of that tough loss to Martin. But that could be for the second place spot in that district 4-6A. How about 6-6A? You were talking about Allen earlier. Allen's got they've got to go to Louisville.
One of two.
They
got to
play
games.
A road
right, exactly.
game.
Yeah.
The bus has cobwebs on it. They're going to have to see. They're going to have to give it a jump.
They don't take a bus there, do they? They charter a plane, right?
I think
right.
so.
Yeah. Like, or maybe the swag copter or the tempo copter. Were there two helicopters there at that stadium?
There were tons of conflicting reports. Nobody really knows.
Well, I'd
there was
seen
one
something where
helicopter.
SMU's football account tweeted that they were in the tempo copter, which I thought, yeah. tempo copter, that's pretty good.
Right.
Good job. And that, you know.
It's always on pace.
Chad Morris right. was there. Jake Spavital and, you know.
You have to beat James
Someone
Madison before you can have your own helicopter.
Oh, there it is.
I think they probably rented it.
All these throwing shots over there.
700 yards of offense the Dukes put up, something like that.
Yeah. It's a growing process there for SMU. How about Plano West and Plano? Plano West desperate for a win. Plano desperate to keep winning.
Yeah.
You know, to stay alive in that. You got the Mound Showdown between Flower Mound and Flower Mound Marcus. Delicious food there to be catered. Congratulations to Louisville ISD for being awesome. And Plano East and McKinney Boyd.
I think it's going to be a good game.
It's a little struggle there for East, yeah. Because
East is undefeated.
And McKinney Boyd's coming off a 10-point win, 41 points scored there, and Grant Restmeyer had a good game. That is in McKinney, so that should be interesting there. In 5A, Wiley East and Wiley. Wiley has not been this is the way Wiley always does. They play some real tough teams in non-district, then they lose, and then you're like, okay, they're not there. And then they show up in district and
they definitely gather steam.
Absolutely.
So they kind of sound like Michigan State then. They play very average during the season, and then come Big Ten tournament, of course, they're obviously going to run through that and then NCAA.
Are you talking about basketball?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not talking about football. That's for daggone certain.
Whoa.
This is the HS Football Podcast.
What happened to you, Avi? Did you just have like some sort of...
Something stuck in his mouth. Yeah,
well, whenever I'm defending high school football, I need to find the little bit of Texas that's in me.
High school football fans love college basketball, too.
Matthew
McQuaid from Duncanville just got recruited to play for Izzo there at Michigan State. He's going to be good.
Thank you.
He's a dead-eye shooter. And there'll be two dead-eye shooters there in the next couple of years because you got Austin Grandstaff from Rockwall, who's now at Ohio State.
Yep.
Indiana, not getting – I guess they have Tim Priller. So,
yeah.
So Richland's Tim Priller.
That's not a consolation prize.
No, come on. Don't talk bad about Tim Priller. He's a real nice guy. I was at his signing day ceremony. Okay,
Lovely.
Heritage and Frisco. Heritage has to have a win to stay alive. We keep their playoff hopes alive. That is at Toyota Stadium on Friday, and a couple of private school games. You got Bishop Lynch and Argyle Liberty Christian. That's kind of battling for the middle of the table there in TAPS 1, District 1, Division 1. And Grapevine Faith Christian and Fort Worth Christian, two ranked teams, battling. I think they're number 2 and number 4 in our small school rankings.
Hey.
Battling it. And I'll have a full breakup of that game there in our games to watch this week. Well, final thoughts, you guys? At the halfway point, is there anything that's surprising to you? You know, for this season, is there anything that shocks you, or disturbs you?
Oh, disturbs me! I'm always disturbed.
I'm disturbed by all
I've
these
been called disturbed
attacks.
Many times.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
No. But it is. Yeah. And actually,
is
I think
that
that's
shot at
what
my shirt.
Official attacks?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No.
Right.
Right.
It has nothing to do with your shirt.
Sorry, everybody talked at once. I misheard. Sorry, Matt.
I would just say, I think I'm writing about that this week, too, kind of a mid-season report
there
type thing. But, some of the things that stand out is I think, you know, DeSoto's getting some people back now, and I still think, you know, before the season started, we were pointing at, oh, DeSoto and Allen are going to match up in that second round.
They're still going to match up.
I still think, I think it's going to be a great, great game. But I think there's I don't know about disappointments. I got to kind of think through some more of those. But I think there's a lot of really good teams coming together. I think after the first week, I talked about how we might have more depth than ever at like 6A, and I still kind of feel that way. I know DeSoto has, in some people's eyes, has been a little bit disappointing, but they've played so many good teams. But when you talk about Skyline, looks real good. Trinity, of course, is undefeated. Cedar Hill, Allen, and Arlington Martin has, you know, even though they've had a couple of stumbles, I think they're a really good team.
I'm really excited about the middle of the table battles in 6A, that there are some programs like Louisville or Garland Lakeview Centennial or in North Mesquite or teams like that
trying to squeeze their way in.
Yeah, trying to squeeze their way into a playoff race that you know, it's great to make the playoffs, especially in these districts in 6A. It's just so difficult to get in. And those established powers are always going
to
be established.
It's like
powers.
Trying to get service at a Nebraska Furniture Mart when you're just not dressed to the nines.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is. You should be wearing that Vineyard Vines shirt and some like purple
Here
slacks.
It comes.
I think you should be wearing one of those old squeeze tight Sports Day HS t shirts.
Oh, yeah.
So I can just show off.
I think it fits my kids better than it does me now.
Right.
How come? Where's the new shirts? I would love a Sports Day HS shirt.
Avi, you're in charge of.
You're in charge of them. We were gonna ask you.
Oh, you're talking about the gray shirts? Yeah, we got a whole closet full of them.
All right.
I always like bring those home like as gifts when I come home. It's like, yeah, look at all the effort I went through and money I spent to get you guys these shirts, and there's like 50 of them just sitting in the back.
Yeah, Avi just walks in and goes swag, swag, and just throws t-shirts to everybody. There you go. Just like that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
I'm real popular.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Somebody be my friend.
Oh.
It's okay.
It's kind of a sad way to end this podcast.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Ben Baby.
Hey, it's Ben Baby's birthday. Happy birthday to Ben Baby.
Happy birthday,
San Antonio Express News. Ben Baby. TV's Ben Baby.
Right.
All right.
You may know him from ESPN.
Yes. You may know him from Officials Getting Spirit. That is the end of the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast. Thanks for listening. Follow us on iTunes, and we will be here all week with footage.
Footage.
Well, Rhiannon's got to.
Oh, the video, yeah.
Videos. Yeah. Matt and I were about to do a really awesome Talking Heads video.
Hey, we're doing stuff.
I wasn't told
it was going to be really awesome.
All sorts of stuff.
Avi, I like how your hands are on your hips right now. Like, they're really disappointed.
I'm stretching.
He's trying to get his power bar out of his fanny pack. Okay, that's it for this week.
Oh, one parting shot. Thanks, Corbett.
You're welcome. We'll see you next week.